This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب All praise is due to Allah alone In Him we seek aid and assistance and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness Truly whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides none can mislead and he whom Allah leaves to go astray there is none who can guide And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both his servant and his messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ أَوْ الْأَقْرَبِينَ إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبير That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says O you who have believed Be persistently standing firm in justice Witnesses for Allah Even if it be against yourselves or your parents, or your relatives. Whether one is rich or poor, Allah is more worthy of both of them. So do not follow your personal inclinations, your personal bias, lest you not be unjust, lest you be not just. And if you distort your testimony, or refuse to offer it, then indeed Allah is well acquainted with whatever you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse to stand up for justice, to be persistently, قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ persistently upholding justice. If the matter is between the rich and the poor, between the powerful and the powerless, between the ones who can benefit you and the ones who cannot benefit you, He tells you, فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا Allah has a greater priority than both of them. And He tells us to stand for the truth and justice even if it's against ourselves or our own parents or our own tribes and relatives. Yesterday was Canada Day, the day of the Confederation of Canada, where Canada turned 153 years old or 153 years past Confederation. Usually this day is celebrated in this country and people are encouraged to think about all the great things about Canada and all the great things that Canada has done. And I'm sure that even many Muslims feel a sense of gratitude to this country. Many people came here after leaving places of war places of conflict and turmoil, and they found peace and stability in Canada. Many people have succeeded financially in Canada, and they feel a sense of gratitude in this regard. However, this year we've seen the discovery of mass graves belonging to children all across Canada. Graves of young kids and children buried outside of the schools that they were sent to attend. And this has made many people stop and reflect over the actual history of this country versus the patriotic, nationalistic version of history that we're typically given and exposed to. And to reflect over some of the injustices that took place in the formation of this country, which most of this injustice was born upon the indigenous people of this land, the indigenous people of what is called to them Turtle Island. North America, Canada, and the US was known amongst the indigenous people as Turtle Island. Words like Canada and America is what the European colonizers called this land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse that we mentioned in the beginning, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qisti shuhada'a lillah. O you who have believed, be persistently firm in standing up for justice, be witnesses for Allah. Walaw ala anfusikum, even if it's against yourselves or your parents or your relatives. Even if we like Canada, we have to be just in recognizing its successes and its failures, in recognizing its positives and its negatives. We have to be قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ, persistently standing for justice. The Confederacy of Canada, and that narrative is one held by the rich and powerful, and the indigenous people are not that. And so Allah tells us, when we look at a conflict between two people, غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا, rich or poor, what do? We have to remember اللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. Allah has a greater priority than both the rich and the poor. Meaning that our allegiance to Allah and our allegiance to the truth and to justice has to take precedence over any party in any conflict. And so when we look at this situation, we have to look at it from the lens of the Qur'an and the lens of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this example of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A Bedouin man once came to him, and he demanded the Prophet give him back his loan. Meaning the Bedouin man had loaned something to the Prophet for the sake of Allah, and he's demanding it back. And he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me what I loaned you. The Prophet said, لا أجد الساعة, I don't have this commodity to pay you back. I don't have anything to give you now. And the man kept demanding his loan back. And the Prophet kept saying, لا أجد الساعة, I don't have what to give you back. Until the man said, قال أحرج عليك, I will make things difficult on you, which is a very harsh phrase to be used, meaning I'm going to embarrass you unless and until you pay me back. And when the man said this word, the companions of the Prophet got angry with him. They said to him, don't you know who you're talking to? How dare you speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this? And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also got angry, but he did not get angry at the Bedouin man. He got angry at the Sahaba. He turned to them and he said to them, هَلَّا مَا صَاحِبِ الْحَقِّ كُنْتُمْ, why are you not with the one whose rights have been taken away? Who is in the right? This man loaned money, he deserves the money that he loaned back. So the Prophet said to the Sahaba, هَلَّا مَا صَاحِبِ الْحَقِّ كُنْتُمْ, why are you not with the one whose rights have been taken away? Meaning our Prophet ﷺ is telling them, this religion means standing with the one whose rights have been taken away, even though in this instance, that meant standing on the side of the Bedouin, not on the side of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ wrote a note to be sent to a female companion, Khawla bint Qais, asking her if she can lend the Prophet something that he can pay back this man. So she lent the Prophet dates, and the Prophet took these dates and gave it to the man. And the man took the dates, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, قَالَ هَلْ وَفَيْتْ, did I pay it back? Did I fulfill your loan? The man said, yes, you have fulfilled the loan. May Allah fulfill His promises to you. And the Bedouin man took his dates and left. And the Prophet turned to the Sahaba and he said to them, أُولَٰئِكَ خِيَارُ النَّاسِ. These are the best of people. Now the scholars differ. What did the Prophet mean by this? The Prophet could have meant, most likely, these are the best of people, meaning the Bedouin is of the best of people. Why? Because he gave a loan for the sake of Allah. And giving a loan for the sake of Allah is a great reward. Or the Prophet could have meant, these are the best of people, i.e. the ones who stand for justice. The ones who stand with the one whose rights have been taken away. So the Prophet said, أُولَٰئِكَ خِيَارُ النَّاسِ إِنَّهُ لَا قُدِّسَتْ أُمَّةِ لَا يَأْخُذِ الضَّعِيفِ فِيهَا حَقَّهُ غَيْرَ مُتَعْتَعَ. The Prophet ﷺ said, these are the best of people. No nation has ever been sanctified in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. No nation has been purified in the sight of Allah when the weak amongst them cannot take their rights without any hesitancy. Meaning the purification of a nation, of a people, is when the weak amongst them is able to access their rights without any problem or objection or barrier in that path. And so, when we think about this hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's imperative that we ensure that the society that we live in provides the weak with access to their rights. If the rights have been taken away, that they have access to get it back. And this can only happen when we recognize the rights of the weak to begin with. That we don't erase the rights, or diminish the rights, or pretend that the rights don't actually exist. For years, the indigenous people of this country have talked about the injustices that they have endured. And for the most part, they were ignored. Or people said to them that they were exaggerating. For years, they said that thousands of children were taken away from them and never came back home. And again, for years they were dismissed. And now we are finding the mass graves outside of these schools of these children. I want you to imagine for a moment you being in their shoes. The government decides a policy that every one of your people's children have to be taken far away to attend a school far outside of your reach and your access. Imagine you have a child, 4 years old, and they say this child has to go to this residential school far away from your home. And you say, no, I don't want that. Well, then the RCMP will show up at your door with their guns, and they will say that child has to go to that school. And they will rip the child out of your arms. And so this child goes to the school that's authorized by the government, that is run by either the Catholic Church or the Anglican Church, and their teachers, the priests or the nuns or the reverends, might be people you've never spoken to before. You've never met them face to face. Yet they're the ones taking care of your children 24/7. And finally, when it's Christmas holidays, and the children are given permission to go back to their homes to be with their parents and families, maybe that four-year-old child of yours doesn't come back home. You see all the other kids coming back, and you're waiting for your child, and your child never comes back. Maybe they tell you, oh, your child tried to run away from the school, and we lost them. Maybe they tell you, oh, your child died of tuberculosis, and we had to bury them. Or maybe they don't tell you anything at all. Your child is just gone. That's the story of most indigenous people in this country. We come from a religion, a book that tells us, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. That Allah reminds us of the Day of Judgment, when the baby will be asked for what reason she was killed. And there are so many gruesome stories of survivors of the residential school systems. I remember one of them during the Truth and Reconciliation Committee, that she came up and she mentioned a story that a young girl in one of these schools was raped. and by one of the priests or teachers there. And she gave birth to a baby. And they brought down the baby, and she was in the kitchen cooking. She was working in the kitchen. They brought down the baby and threw the baby into the incinerator in front of her. And she could smell even the burning of the flesh. SubhanAllah. This is what many people went through in these residential schools. In one residential school, there was an electric chair. Not to kill the children, but to punish them. They would strap the children in the electric chair and punish them with electrocution. And of course, sometimes some of them died with this. And we think about this school system as being something in the past, but they only ended the last school in 1996. This is not ancient history. Why was this school instituted? Why was the school system instituted? They just wanted to teach these kids how to read and write. You know, some people have even made this argument, well, actually they were doing a service. They were teaching these kids how to read and write. Well, why didn't they teach them how to read and write next to their homes, in their communities? Why did they take them from their homes, far away from their parents? Well, this is what they said in our House of Commons, our government here in Canada. This is how they announced the residential schools. The Minister of Public Works said, in order to educate children properly, we must separate them from their families. Some may say that this is hard, but if we want to civilize them, we must do that. John A. Macdonald, who's the Prime Minister, said to the House of Commons the same year they started the residential schools, when the school is on the reserve, the child lives with his parents who are savages. He is surrounded by savages. And though he may learn to read and write, he still has the habits and the training and the mode of thought are Indian. He is simply a savage who can read and write. This history is important for us, especially as Muslims, to know. Because this same mentality of viewing the indigenous people as savages, as barbaric, as they need to be civilized by these very extreme measures, is it not unlike the colonization of much of the Muslim world that we endured at the hands of European powers? In fact, even until today, Western powers will support brutal dictators in Arab countries, in the Muslim world. They will send them aid and support and weapons. Why are you supporting these brutal dictators? Because of the mentality that the Muslim populations are savage and barbaric and need to be civilized. And we need stability. So we need to support these tyrants and these dictators to ensure that we control these savage people. It's the same mentality that continues to persist. And the residential schools was just one aspect of what indigenous people suffered in this country. There were laws that controlled their movement. They wouldn't be able to leave their reserves, their dress, their language. The Indian Act, which by the way still exists as a law till today, not this particular part of the law, but in general the Indian Act still exists and functions, that they prohibited gatherings and celebrations in which indigenous people danced. Even their dance, their singing, their poetry, they tried to strip this all away from them. Why would they do this? This is forced assimilation. Forcing the people to abandon their culture, their language, their beliefs, to assimilate into the dominant culture. And again, as Muslims, there is much for us to study and understand, because we can draw similarities between this and between the fact that in Quebec today, you cannot wear a hijab, you cannot wear a turban, you cannot wear a kippah, while being a teacher, for example. The understanding, the mentality of stripping people from their culture and their tradition and their religion and, you know, their entire history is the same function. We see the same thing happening throughout Europe. Banning of hijab and niqab, banning of halal food even. Just this week in France, one of the MPs stood up in parliament and she suggested banning North African dances at weddings. Why would they want to do that? Is it not the same mentality? Trying to strip people away from their culture? And this is why they call it a religious and cultural genocide. The same mentality exists and persists till this day, and we see it happening even to ourselves. And until today, the indigenous people suffer significant injustices. Much of the land that belongs to them, which is often called reserves, is unilaterally taken away by the government, or leased out to mining companies without the consent of the indigenous people, the First Nations people. Much of the Indian Act was meant to confine the indigenous people to their reserves. There were laws like if they left the reserves, stores were banned from selling them products, things like that. And they kept them there, and yet until today, we do not provide them with clean water. And it's common in their lands, in their areas, that for them to purchase, for instance, bananas that are rotting, they've gone bad, they're all blackened, it would cost them $20 to buy it. Now some people say, well, why are they living on these reserves? They were forced to stay on the reserves. There were laws forcing them there for years and years and years. It's not easy after hundreds of years now to all of a sudden move to a different place. And why should they, right? And this is something really important. I think sometimes when I talk to Muslims about these topics, they say, well, it's their fault. They drink alcohol and do drugs. Yeah, akhi, why do you think they drink alcohol and do drugs? Look at what they went through. Look at the schools that they had to attend. Look at the punishment and the rape and the genocide that they endured. Right? It's easy to just blame them, but look at the things that they went through. Doesn't that make you have some rahmah, some sympathy towards what they're going through? And doesn't that mean that as Muslims, we should be there to try to support them and help them overcome these challenges that they are facing, these challenges that they're going through? And this is something for all of us to reflect upon, because we live in this land that ultimately belonged to them. And we benefit from it, and we work on it. And they're not telling you, leave your house and give us your house, we're taking your property back. They're not asking for that. But at least to have respect for them and rahmah for the things that they've went through and to try to support them through it. فَأَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. What are the things that we can do to educate ourselves or to help and support the indigenous people of Canada? One thing that we can do is to educate ourselves about the history of the First Nations peoples, what they've gone through, what has happened to them. Another thing that we can do is to stand with them when their legitimate rights have been violated. To use also land acknowledgement when we have events, even events at the masjid, to acknowledge this land belonged to other people. And that we're grateful that we're able to make use of this land, but to at least have the respect to mention and to acknowledge that this land at one point did belong to them and was taken away from them by force. And it's important for us to work to build relationships with the indigenous people, to get to know them, for them to know us as well. And I know a lot of Muslims are passionate about da'wah, and they want to give da'wah to everybody that we meet, frankly, but including indigenous people. My own experience is that many First Nations people are very, you know, holding on to their faith and holding on to their traditions because of what they went through. You know, Christianity was forced on them, forced on their children. So they want to hold on to their traditions as much as possible. So if you walk in the door and you say, I want to invite you to Islam, they might not really appreciate that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Call to the path of your Lord with wisdom. So the wisdom is to get to know them and have conversations with them. That they know us as human, as people. And that they see the beauty of our religion and the way that we support the oppressed. And the way that we want to take care of those who have been, whose rights have been trampled on. And in the way that our religion, alhamdulillah, one of the most beautiful things about our religion is it doesn't strip the culture away from people. If you go to Morocco, you go to Nigeria, you go to Turkey, you go to India, you go to Malaysia, Indonesia, the cultures in each of these places is different. Their clothing is different, their language is different, their food is different,
their entire culture and tradition and history has been preserved, yet they're all Muslim who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray five times a day. Because our religion did not come and say, we need to civilize you and strip you out of your clothing and put you in our clothing and strip you out of your language and put you in our language. Our religion doesn't do that. You can have whatever culture you want as long as you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you worship God and you worship Allah azza wa jal. And so when people see what Islam has to offer, and that even if they don't want to hear about Islam from us, even if they don't want to talk about Islam, we'll still be there serving them and helping them and protecting them against injustice, then inshallah Allah will open their hearts. And if Allah doesn't, we're still doing our role as Muslims by defending them and standing up for their rights. And that's what's important for all of us to remember and to acknowledge, and to lend out a hand of support to the indigenous people of Canada, and to help them through the injustices that they have faced. Finally, inshallah, one note before I end. I was asked for everyone to make dua for Sister Zaina Khan. She's a 13-year-old girl. She is in Credit Valley Hospital fighting cancer. So her family is asking if we can make dua for her. May Allah Azza wa Jal provide her with ease and relieve her from any discomfort and to cure her fully from this illness. Ameen. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد اللهم صل على محمد ما ذكره الذاكرون الأبرار وصلي عليه ربنا ما تضوع مسك وفاح صلي عليه يا ربنا صلاة وسلاما دائمين إلى يوم الدين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أمهات المؤمنين وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيته وسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون عبد الله قم الصلاة.